Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, football. It's that season. It's that time. We got news all over the place. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are closing in on some type of an agreement, it sounds like. Not for an extension, but just to get him in their building for the year.
A de-stension, if that's even a word? Like giving him less time on his contract somehow?
It sounds like they're coming together on some plan that could result in him saying, okay, I'll come play one final season, and then you guys let me leave at the end of the year. So we'll have the details on that coming up in just a few minutes. John Allen has received an offer that he has apparently signed. He's now extended with the Washington football team. The report is 4 years and $72 million. We're reacting to that on the fan throughout the afternoon, and you guys can give your thoughts at 800-636-1067. But right now, let's kick off our Beltway Blitz, the news the teams in town you care about. And we got to start on the gridiron with the Allen news. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, you just wrote about this today. It looked like nothing was a-brewing, and then the two sides came together after not talking for a while, and they got something hammered out.
I'll take my loss here. Yeah, things were looking very bleak as late last week, and you know the two sides are pretty far apart. And I'll say this, you know, Jonathan Allen made concessions to stay in Washington, D.C. That's what everybody always asks of the hometown guys. Got to take the hometown discount. He could have got a lot more guaranteed money by going elsewhere. Probably could have got more money by waiting out the tag system, but he takes the deal. I think just an absolute win for Washington football team fans to have a captain, a local kid, a leader locked up, and that whole defensive line now locked up for the next 2 years.
When you start looking around the landscape, right, you're a year away from doing this for Montez Sweat, a year away from doing this for Terry McLaurin, for a number of their really nice young pieces, you kind of do the math from a team-building perspective. It's hard to keep everybody. You pretty much can't do it unless you're willing to not fill the 53. Does this pretty much mean that Daron Payne is gone, in your opinion?
No, because I've always leaned to Montez Sweat being the one who's gone. I know everybody loves him. I know he plays great, but there's the Chase Young boost that you have to factor in here, and that is whoever plays opposite Chase Young is going to be an absolute beast because they play opposite Chase Young. And so, you know, if you can find young talent, draft young talent, find somebody to sit in that spot, I'm not suggesting Montez Sweat is anything other than an amazing football player, but he's going to get paid top 10, you know, if his career continues on this trajectory, he's going to be a top 10 guy. I would find it tough to pay a top 10 guy to be opposite Chase Young when you're so dominant at your position. You can make guys better just by being there.
Michael, I'm very happy that they signed Allen, right? He was drafted and went to Stonebridge High School 10 minutes away, and he's been a Walter Payton Man of the Year, and he's a leader, and he's really, really good. How good is he, I guess, is the question. He's not made a Pro Bowl. They're paying him elite money. Where are we at on that?
Well, this is the same critique that gets leveled at Payne. You know, show me the stats, show me the production. And it's tough to do in that interior defensive line. I think fans really get spoiled by having Matt Ioannidis, too, who's, you know, without running down the entire list of 32, I got to think he might be the best backup defensive tackle in the entire NFL. You know, just considering what he does and the production he brings. But the truth is, Allen is that good. I mean, he's a beast. He ties up guys. He makes it possible for that defense to do what they do. It's tough to quantify, but I can tell you this. Ron Rivera, smart football guy. Jack Del Rio, smart football guy. they're not paying for nothing, and they've crunched the numbers and said this guy's worth $18 million, I'd go ahead and roll with that.
Miguel, this is also kind of the rare exception that somebody who was here before Ron Rivera arrived has been given the stamp of approval. He doesn't have a Carolina area code on his cell phone, and that seems stunning that he's actually not only going to still be here, but is going to be compensated accordingly. It seems to be a pretty good amount of buy-in from Allen's side to the message that Ron Rivera is kind of preaching, huh?
No doubt, especially when you consider some of the guys who have left so far. You know, there's been two big deals now given out to non-Rivera guys under Ron Rivera, and that's Chase Ruhier and Jonathan Allen. And I would say they both share a lot in common, both hard workers, nose down, buy into the system guys. You know, even last year, you know, Jonathan Allen's a guy who every time we talk to him, hey, you know, whatever the coaches want us to do, that's what we're doing. We're going forward this way. And I know a lot of those defensive linemen, Allen included, kind of bristled at having to learn an entirely new way to play football. But he's a guy who put his head down, put in the work, did it, learned that new way to play football. And I think the staff really appreciated how he came around on that front.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Rivera's going to be on the show at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Training camp is here, baby. First practice is on Wednesday. What's your favorite story to track during training camp? What are you going to be monitoring?
Well, everybody's excited to see the receivers. I'm curious to hear about Landon Collins tomorrow, his health, whether he might play this season, whether he might go on PUP, whether we expect him to see him on a practice field at some point this offseason. I think that really helps shape your picture in the secondary. You've got Cam Curl, obviously, who's good enough to be a starter. But, you know, as good as these cornerbacks became, you still need that safety depth. As much as fans were ready to write him off last year as a bust, I think you still would really like to have that extra depth piece available to you if that's possible.
Who is the guy that we are not talking enough about on the roster?
Is it weird if I say Ryan Fitzpatrick? I know you guys talk about him all the time, but I feel like, you know, there's so much Antonio Gibson love and so much love for these receivers. And I think people obviously are very well aware of the defensive line and rightfully talk about that, even Jamin Davis. But man, you know, I think just having a aggressive, risk-taking downfield quarterback is going to make things so different, so much more fun, so much more dynamic. I think that he really is an incredibly key piece of this thing. As we now move on to talking about Aaron Rodgers at 2022, I'm well aware that, you know, we're on to that new cycle already. But he's going to transform things this year. You know, my second pick's probably William Jackson in the secondary. I think he's got the chance to be very good playing alongside Kendall Fuller.
All right, let's come full circle. The news on John Allen, 4-year extension, reportedly $72 million, $30 million in guarantees to stay in Washington. Fans just jumping in their cars hearing this for the first time. How should they feel?
They should feel great. That is a better deal than you can get on the open market and a better player than you can get on the open market. And those are both really important things. Guys like Jonathan Allen, who are team leaders, hardworking guys, team captains, Walter Payton, Man of the Year. You know, we've just said all the accolades a little while earlier. Those guys don't come on the open market. So if you're talking about, oh, shoot, we got to drop $18 million on a free agent, very rarely do you get one of that caliber because teams lock them up, and very rarely do you get one in this good of a contract where, you know, without seeing the details right offhand, I'm guessing we'll be able to walk away from this after 2 years if anything goes south. This is an incredibly good deal for the team.
Michael, thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Take care, guys.
We'll see you, my friend. Let's talk some Wizards, please. You can hear Chris Miles on 106.7 The Fan, NBA TV, NBC Sports Washington. He is the best. Chris, Bradley Beal is mulling his future. I'm not really sure what that means. We all kind of mull our futures an awful lot, but how should fans react? How should the Wizards react? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the Wizards should react before the draft and either improve this team drastically and not draft a player with that 15th pick, but go get him some help, or move Bradley Beal before the draft. So we got, 3 days until that happens. Heard that about both Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard, that really the deadline for those guys seems to be the NBA draft. So, I don't know, maybe there's some fireworks in the next 3 days for Washington.
Does he want to be traded or he doesn't want to be traded? Like, I find this NBA, he might feel this way, like non-report reporting, the most annoying thing in sports. He either wants to be traded or he doesn't. Like, which is it?
I agree with you on that. That's why you will never see me tweet about it. So here's the deal. I think that Bradley Beal wants to get that max contract, that extension that he can only get in Washington after being named an All-NBA player. And I think that's the reason he hasn't demanded a trade. I'm sure he's broken this down with his agent and been like, wait, I can get $44 million a year in Washington, but if I leave, I got to take a little bit less. Now, let's get this extension done unless you can get me to a team where we can compete for a championship. I imagine that's the logical part of that, but that's conjecture. That's not reported.
If they do stay at 21, goodness gracious, they stay at 15 in the 21 draft, who should they take, Chris? What kind of player?
I mean, we do this every year, right? We go, oh, and then it was like Troy Brown. How big of a factor was he? Kelly Oubre, how big of a factor was he? It's almost like the players that they're stuck getting are not the biggest factor, you know, on this team for years to come. So you want me to say Josh Christopher? Because that's a guy with a high upside that seems like he'll be sitting there that people don't seem like they're too high on. Sure, that's a name I'll give you. But we could go down a list of names at 15. I don't think any of them move the needle if you got Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal on this team.
We've heard the phrase close. Wes Unseld Jr. saying they're close. Do you buy that?
Close to?
It's my question.
I'm sorry, man. I'm laughing at that. Look, here's the deal. If you look at how they performed after all the COVID stuff, you get to the second half of the season where Beal kind of tapered off from being the leading scorer, but really at like 26, 27 a game, and Russell Westbrook was getting triple-doubles every game. I think they're competitive in the East. I still think that they are an explosive big. But, you know, if you had someone like Daniel Gafford that played the whole game, or Jared Allen that's in Cleveland now, I think that you could be a team that could compete for a championship with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. But, like, what would you give up to get back that? So, if I'm the Wizards, I'm looking to see what Cleveland's doing at 3 in the draft. If they draft Evan Mobley, I'm calling, like, hey, you want 15 and you want anybody on our team not named Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, we will give it to you for Jared Allen because we need to compete now. That's what I would do.
Who are some trade chips that might be able to move non-Westbrook and Beal division?
I mean, it's a guy that we've been told is not moved, and that's Rui Hachimura, because I think Rui showed us towards the end of last year that he could be a good defender, that he's a moderate to decent, you know, scorer. And if you want to make this team better, I look at that as a position that you could do it. John Collins, you could probably get him in a sign and trade. They don't have the cap space to get him, and I know teams are salivating over him. We saw what he did in the postseason. So, I mean, there's players like that I think they could go get, but you have to be willing to give up not only your draft pick, but somebody else.
Chris Miles, NBA TV. You hear him on The Fan. Thank you, buddy. Good having you back on the show, as always.
See you, dude.
Hey, make sure to watch the NBA TV mock draft show tomorrow night at 8, guys. All right?
Nice, buddy. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's start baseball, please. We're going to R.J. Anderson, a staff writer, CBS Sports, Major League Baseball. Knowledgeable gentleman. R.J., the Nationals should be sellers, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think you have to take a sober analysis of where this team is and where it's likely heading over the next year plus. And you know, if it is a sober analysis, I think you have to conclude that they're closer to a rebuild than being truly competitive again.
How much selling should they do as a seller? Are we talking anything that's not bolted down, or trade some relievers in Max Scherzer who are on expiring contracts? Like, what would your plan be?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable take. I think you also probably need to listen to the offers on Trey Turner if you're not inclined to sign him to a long-term extension. I would say probably the only untouchable in terms of you don't want to move them, not in terms of won't be touched by other teams, is Juan Soto. And even then, you know, if he's not, you know, if the numbers on a long-term extension aren't reasonable to you in the next year or two, you have to start thinking about that. So I do think they'll keep Soto, obviously, but, you know, Turner seems like he might be available, if not at this deadline, at least over the winter.
So that's what they should do. What will they do?
That's always hard to say because the Lerner family has a history of squashing trades. You know, we're not far removed from them shooting down a Bryce Harper trade to the Houston Astros. I believe that was in 2018. So my guess is, if you're being realistic, it's probably going to be a boring deadline where they move Brad Hand, they move Daniel Hudson, maybe they move Yan Gomes if the team is, you know, really invested in him and feels comfortable with where he is on his recovery. Otherwise, you know, Scherzer is sort of the great wild card of this deadline.
I'm wondering about a return for Scherzer. What do you think they could realistically get back? Everyone says, oh, just rebuild your system. Nobody trades anything for a rental that would rebuild your system. Like, that's not realistic. What would an actual haul look like?
Yeah, it's not realistic at all. And you have to keep in mind, the Scherzer trade is more complicated than your normal trade because it's not just about getting the best return, and that's the end game here. You have to find the best return from a situation where Scherzer is willing to trade his no-trade clause. And that complicates the process. You saw just last night, the Padres gave up three prospects for Adam Frazier. You know, he's cheap. He just made the All-Star team. He has an every year of control. And there was really only one notable prospect involved, and even he is not a great prospect. So for Scherzer, if you're getting, you know, a top 100 prospect, maybe two, then you should probably count your lucky stars because of the circumstances involved here. But you're right, teams just don't trade prospects for rentals. They certainly don't trade them for rentals who cost a lot of money. Maybe the Nationals can get a little better return eating the money, but again, it's very complicated.
RJ, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, man. Good debut on the Blitz.
Anytime. Thank y'all for having me.
Appreciate you, buddy. And that's the key, I think, and that's something I would mention, is I do hear people say all the time, trade Max and you know your system's bad. Upgrade the system. Kind of. You're going to get
a slight upgrade.
You're going to get two mid-level prospects, I would say, or maybe one pretty good prospect. But you're not getting anybody that changes a whole lot at the top of the system. You're not getting an arm back that projects as a frontliner. You're not getting a bat back that's going to start every day at third base very likely for a Max Scherzer rental. And there is the other part of it, which is he does have to agree to this.
Mm-hmm.
He has what are called 10-5 rights, meaning he's been in the big leagues for 10 years and he's been on his current team for 5 of them. So he could say no to any deal that they try to strike, at which point you're dead in the water with your trade.
Yeah.
Do we know that Max Scherzer wants to be traded?
We don't.
I think we assume because he's a great competitor, he'd probably want to go somewhere to win a World Series. I'm reading into something, and this probably means nothing. When I interviewed him in Denver, okay, I think it was while you were on vacation, mm-hmm. you were out that day. I brought up in person in the dugout him possibly being traded, and his facial expression that day was really weird. It was like a eye rolling, like, oh, you know.
Like, so, here we go.
Not even like you're asking me about this, but more like, how dumb is it that people always say that? Now, he might have been saying that as if to say, like, we're not that bad. We're going to be good. We're going to come out of the break and win.
Yeah, this is before they had the worst record in the National League in July.
Exactly.
5-15, yeah.
So maybe it's nothing. But I left that and I go, I've never thought about this, but I wonder if, like, Max has 3 young kids and a wife. Like,
yeah.
I know that they did put their house on the market or whatever a few months ago that in McLean or wherever that is, but mm-hmm. It had not dawned on me, well, maybe he wouldn't want to be traded until he made that face. And it probably was as simple as, yeah, everyone always likes to say I'm getting traded anytime we start 3-7. That, you know, he was probably doing that more than he is saying I would never want to be traded. But it was the first time I ever thought about that. And no one ever mentions he does have the ability to say I'd rather just finish the season here in Washington where my family's already set up, where we got a baby.
It all makes sense. I mean, you think about it this way. If you're the Nationals, the any call or any action needs to be preceded by, hey, by the way, if we get this deal done with 3 different bidders, like Tampa's in, let's say Houston's in, and the Dodgers are in, all World Series contenders, if we start driving up the bidding war, would you go anywhere? Would you let us know where you might want to go? Like, you know, could you, or would you not want to go at all?
I'm sure that convo happened,
yeah.
And one way or the other, they know that already. Very, very likely he'd be willing if the Rays or some great team like the Padres, let's say, in a mm-hmm. cool city, who has a chance to win a World Series. I have a hard time believing you wouldn't want to. It's just worth mentioning that he does have the ability.
He absolutely does.
To say, actually, I want to stay in D.C. and say goodbye to these fans for the final of my 7 years here. If he wanted to do that for whatever reason.
Yeah, he's earned that right. I mean, again, the glaring example of this was Adam Jones. That was on a last place team, was traded, and he said, no, I'm not doing that. And they asked him why. He was like, none of your business. I don't want to go. I'm very happy here. I want to finish out my contract, and I've earned that right. He absolutely has the right to say no.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. John Allen has an extension, 4 years and $72 million. What do you make of Washington's decision to make Allen one of the highest paid defensive tackles in football? He's never made a Pro Bowl, but he's coming off of an awesome season. And what does this mean along the D-line, where eventually you got to pay Payne, Sweat, and Chase Young, or those guys walk? 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny talking about the breaking John Allen news on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jonathan Allen made concessions to stay in Washington, D.C. That's what everybody always asks of the hometown guys. Got to take the hometown discount. He could have got a lot more guaranteed money by going elsewhere. Probably could have got more money by waiting out the tag system. But he takes the deal. I think just an absolute win for Washington football team fans.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, moments ago on Grant and Danny. We continue to react to John Allen. Four-year, $72 million extension, a massive $30 million bonus and guaranteed money. I'm not so sure this is a hometown discount. $18 million per year is the market for an excellent defensive lineman, which they obviously deem him to be. And while I don't condone judging anyone based on how many Pro Bowls they've been to, because guys get to the Pro Bowl all the time that shouldn't, and other players who should don't sometimes, mm-hmm. He has never been a Pro Bowler. Having said that, they signed a guy that they think, both in the locker room and on the field, they can build their defense around with Jamin Davis, with Chase Young, for many, many years to come. If you want to react to the news that John Allen is staying put, we want to hear from you at 800-636-1067. Our immediate thought in terms of the next angle moving forward is, what does this mean for Daron Payne? Michael Phillips says maybe nothing, because you could pay Payne and just let Montez Sweat walk. What a lot of people are going to tell you is you can't sign all those guys. You can't sign Payne and Allen and Young and Sweat. They're all first-round picks. They're all playing at a high level. They're all going to get top-of-the-market money, very likely. I guess you could pay them all, but then you're not paying McLaurin. You can't pay other positions.
Yeah, then you can't be in the market for a high-money quarterback, or you right. can't re-sign, you know, name Sam Cosmi at any point. I mean, just, it's team-building. You'd love to keep everybody, but Ryan Zimmerman famously said to us a handful of years ago when we were at spring training, not everybody gets to make $200 million.
It's a great line.
You can't do it. I mean, I'd love to. I'd love to keep all these guys because I love them. But you have to make some of these hard choices. And it's a better problem to have than, who the hell are we going to put here? It's a, man, we got too many talented players and we have to let some go. That's a better spot to be in.
Real quick, outside of D.C., there's an update I wanted to pass along on Deshaun Watson. This is from John Barr, who's a reporter at ESPN. He wrote the book, Start By Believing. It's Larry Nassar's crimes, the institutions that enabled him, and the brave woman who stopped him. So this is a guy that's done a lot of research and investigating on sexual impropriety and issues like that. He just broke a story 15 minutes ago for ESPN that 10 women have filed complaints with Houston police against Deshaun Watson, according to Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin. Now, this is similar to what has been happening already, where 20-plus women came forward. 8 of these women are already a part of that civil situation.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them are new, though. These are 2 of these women are not a part of the civil lawsuits. And so we've known about the civil case, where 20-plus women in civil court are challenging Deshaun Watson. But to this moment, there has not been anything legal. And now these 10 women, according to John Barr, actually, it sounds like, want charges pressed, and they have gone to law enforcement. This is a very different thing than civil. Now, I only bring this up not to compare domestic violence to, you know, getting a massage and whatever impropriety allegedly happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got in baseball, Starlin Castro, one allegation comes out of domestic violence. The Nationals come out and say he's not playing for them anymore. He's placed on a list. He probably won't play again this season. You've got Trevor Bauer, has yet to have his hearing. It's his word versus a woman's word right now. Allegations. He's done with the Dodgers. His teammates are saying, we don't want to play with that guy. Very, very different than in football. 10 women have come out against Deshaun Watson to go to the cops forgetting that there are 20 plus, and there's some crossover in the Venn diagram here, but eight of them are the same, two are new, that are 20 plus in a civil case, 10 in a legal case. And presumably this week, as of right now, he'll just be throwing passes at practice. I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. I happen to believe in due process and innocent until proven guilty, but it is an amazing juxtaposition between sports.
It certainly is. Now, with a criminal proceeding, and that's what this would lead to,
correct?
The NFL may react differently.
And probably should, by the way. A charge, even though you're not guilty at that point, is a little bit different than an allegation, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And civil cases, you know, again, not to this degree of 22 separate ones or, you know, 22 different people involved or whatever. That's unusual. That's a big number. But frivolous civil cases happen all the time. And I'm not saying that these are, but you know what I mean? Like, just somebody's minding their business saying, hey, I got a chance. Maybe I'll see if I can get a settlement out of this athlete for a few hundred thousand dollars or whatever. These guys deal with that on occasion. Again, I'm not knocking credibility of anybody in this specific case. This is a different animal when it comes to it. But I think once you approach this level where there's criminality involved and the NFL's investigation needs to hurry up and get its I's dotted and its T's crossed to figure out where they stand on this. Because, again, in the wake of this Wilkinson report here with Dan Snyder and company, and they had a chance to stand firm and show you that they actually, it wasn't just lip service. It's not just wearing a pink ribbon on their jersey in October for a couple of weeks or, you know, a couple of cleats highlighted pink. They actually cared about this issue. They would fall flat again.
Only thing Goodell proved with that hearing is, and with that investigation, was that he protected the owners. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's who he was working on behalf of. That's whose well-being he cared about. And I know that a lot of people were stunned around football that it was just the $10 million. And that was the kind of beginning and end of a year-long investigation. But if this goes to a point in the next couple days where charges are pressed, because it's different than civil, then maybe something would come down and Watson would be put on some list and wouldn't be at camp. Right now, by the way, the Texans want to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
How can you possibly trade him right now? How could any team, as badly as they want a quarterback, take him on right now? And we're in a market where they would kill for Deshaun Watson normally. Fans, media, organization. This is the least likely team that could possibly do something like that based on the PR of the last couple of years and the way things have gone. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is apparently striking a deal with the Packers. I don't have another word to use. It's not a football contract. It's not a more money. Basically, they're giving him concessions. They're not saying what this is. These reporters like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Michael Silver, who knows Rodgers well. But they're basically alluding to the fact that Rodgers' agent and the team have ironed out some details that are going to make Rodgers more happy to show up that on the back end will work out for him. And what it boils down to, it sounds like, is he'll play one season with Green Bay, which will start on day one of training camp. He wasn't planning on showing up. Now he will. And on the back end, the Packers are agreeing maybe to allow him to walk. Like, they'd make it more possible, whatever they have to do. I don't know if they eat money or release him or whatever, so that he shows up and plays one more season in Green Bay. That's what it sounds like right now is the plan.
That's the read I have on that as well. And again, I'm fascinated as to what the specifics of that would be. And I'm wondering, just off the top of my head, my first thought was, and again, I don't have all the info, just that same stuff that you've read. What was in it for Green Bay? They kind of won this thing, it seems to me, if Rodgers does indeed report tomorrow. They've won this thing by simply saying, we know you're not giving us $30 million back that's already in your account. We know you're not going to stroke us a check for $30 million. We know we've got your rights. You're not getting traded. You're not really going to retire. Let's go back to the NFC title game for the third straight year, right? I know you don't like us, but there's plenty of people here you do like. I know we've done you wrong. I know we didn't draft an offensive player for a decade until we traded up to take a quarterback in the first round. I know you're mad at us about that. I know you're mad at us about the Jake Camaro thing. I know you're mad at us about the center we let walk in free agency. I know you don't like us, but you have no alternative. Why the give in? I wonder if it's just a great job by Rodgers and his rep just to basically play poker with him, right?
Well, I do think he could have not shown up for camp, and maybe they felt like that would have set their entire season back. You're not at camp. This is not a corner not showing up. This is the quarterback. You're installing, not that they have a new playbook, but plays and working on timing and getting things down with your line and your wide receivers. If he's not there until the end of training camp, I 100% believe that's a worse football team because of that. So maybe they feel like, hey, we have an actual chance to win. We just signed the new contract with Aaron Jones. We've got a couple guys we brought in here. Let's do what we can to try to win this year. And if he really is going to be hell-bent on getting traded next offseason, then we'll trade him for a million things, and hopefully by then, Jordan Love will be ready to go. I mean, maybe that's their thinking. I'm not really sure. Let's go to the phones. David's in Sterling's been waiting patiently to talk about the John Allen deal. David, how about it? Kudos to the Washington football team. First time in 6 years, since 2015 with Ryan Kerrigan, they have extended a first-round pick to a massive contract.
Yeah, no, I couldn't be happier. Just being able to see, you know, one of our own when we drafted, that be able to get that long-term deal. I know people are going to say he didn't have that sack total, but I could care less when I have Young and Sweat coming off the edge. And now with Jamin Davis coming up the middle, he doesn't need sacks. Let's take up that that space. I'm happy. I can't wait.
Thanks, appreciate buddy. You, man. Yeah, the sack total to some extent is relevant, but sack total is important and people talk about it because it tells you how often you impacted and hit the quarterback. Oftentimes, you ended a drive or you set a team behind the sticks to make it 2nd and 17 or 3rd and 21. There are other ways to do that. Quarterback hurries. He led the team in that category. Quarterback hits. He led the team in that category. Quarterback pressures. He led the team in that category. Nobody on the team had more than his 50 pressures, 13 hits, or 34 hurries. Those are the precursors to sacks. Mm-hmm. Like, generally speaking, it's the equivalent of if you eat healthy and work out every day, you'll lose weight, right? So what we're looking at says he ate healthy for 6 straight months, and he worked out every day for 6 straight months, and he lost a lot less weight than he should have. It's the equivalent of looking at they've scored this many runs and allowed this many runs. Their Pythagorean win-loss, their expected win-loss is
should
one
thing. Should be X, yeah.
You know, they should have won 92 games, but they only won 84. They were unlucky. If you just put those things into a machine and spit them back out, he should have probably had 7.5 or 8 sacks.
Which is what he averaged the previous 2 years.
Exactly.
In the year that he had 8 sacks, his career high to this point, he had 15 quarterback hits, according to the Pro Football Reference. He had 14 last year with only 2 sacks. So, again, it just kind of gives you an idea of that process. I mean, he's the guy that injured Joe Burrow. He's the guy that was in that backfield constantly, you know, either just...
It's such a weird thing to say, though.
I mean, it's all, I get it sounds point. Bad.
You're
yeah.
saying, like, that collapsed the pocket and yeah. got to the quarterback.
He was there. I mean, so the number of times where he's either forcing action where the guy has to just kind of step around or maybe an escape. The point is, he's disruptive enough. He also stays home well when it calls for that. Again, he was 4th on the team in tackles last year, had more than a lot of their linebackers did. Now, that speaks poorly maybe to some of the linebacker play, but it also speaks well to him. He has been a consistent 60-plus tackle guy at the defensive line spot. So he does everything that you would want him to do. This is a really good player that last year's sack total has incorrectly, I think, warped a lot of people's opinion of him. I really believe that.
Yeah, I just think it's a very – lazy is too negative, but it's certainly too simple of a way to boil down pass rushing ability. It's just – particularly on the inside. If you're doing that with an edge rusher, while still not a great metric, it makes more sense than a defensive tackle. Because your job is quite literally to force the quarterback off their mark. It's to wreak havoc and create penetration and to make them move and fluster them and to cause them to pat that football one more time so that theoretically Chase Young or Montez Sweat can come and blow them up. Which he did time and again all of last season. 800-636-1067. Is the number. What does the Allen extension say about the bigger picture thinking and plan of Ron Rivera and this front office? Let's get into that next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News just broke that Tom Wilson is engaged. Washington Capitals heartthrob. Best looking guy I've ever seen in my life. That Tom Wilson. By the way, and I'm not doing a bit. Me and my wife, whenever he's on screen, like at a game or just in the penalty box, like yelling at a Ranger or something, we always look at each other and we're like, how does he look like that?
How could anyone look like that?
And we'll say it at the same time. Like, she finds him to be incredible looking.
Oh, she's a human being. Of course she does.
I think I might find him to be more incredible looking. I just don't understand how anyone can look like him. He's kind of got this like Henry Cavill thing going.
Yeah.
But this rugged, oh, by the way, I score 30 goals for your favorite hockey team makes it even better. Cavill's in a movie I care about every few years. Tom Wilson comes into my living room and scores goals for me 82 times a year.
And like some of the other team does something wrong. You're like, where's Wilson? There he is. And he gets him. He's just so handsome and muscular.
So his
be amazing.
Longtime girlfriend, Taylor Pischke.
Congratulations to Taylor.
Just posted, I guess, on Instagram pictures of them having gotten engaged. Sounds like it was at a beach on Friday, Danny. I don't know what that voice was.
I'm not sure either. But we're all thrown for a loop.
I wanted to do like a, but I don't know like who exactly I was channeling there.
Yeah.
I was going for like a, someone
like a jealous bridesmaid, maybe?
No, like someone who cares about like celebrity couples way too much and is like reading this going, that should have been me. That's what I was going for.
She's a little jelly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I wish I have that one back. But anyway, Tom Wilson gets engaged to Taylor Pischke. She's a volleyball player from Canada. And I met her at a game one time, and I said hello, and she said hello back, and she seemed nice in that interaction. That's all I got.
Score that. Yeah, that's as much as I know. I know she landed just an absolute dreamboat.
I mean,
congrats to her.
How lucky is she?
The luckiest is the answer.
She's so lucky.
We just got to set aside a little bit of money each month in escrow, maybe, you know, to help pay these ridiculous fines that he accrues every time somebody falls down on the ice. It's Tom Wilson's fault. Other than that, though, they'll live a wonderful life together.
Remember, let's see if Danny remembers the line that he referred to as when you look over at someone and you're kind of like, oh, that's a good-looking girl or guy. What was he saying?
Oh, damn it. Exactly what you're talking about. Great conversation. Had a slap on our knees. Oh,
well,
what was
thinking,
it?
I'll just remind people.
I noticed you're checking me. Check in on her. I'm going to check in on her a little bit.
So it wasn't her, though. It was Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, check in on him, yeah.
So we asked him because we're like, dude, in all fairness.
You're
like,
professional grade good-looking.
We always, if you're in the same room, we're always kind of looking at you going, wow, he's an amazing looking. And I think you asked him, is there a guy that makes you feel that way? And he said, that guy is Leonardo DiCaprio, that he was in LA one time and Leo was in the same room as him. And he said, I was checking on him a little bit. But it was just a great line. He's like, yeah, I was checking on him. I kept checking in on him here and there. And I'm like, what? That's just a great way to say I checked him out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I'm checking on him.
That's because that's the perfect way to put it. My now wife and I were dating very serious at the time, but we're sitting at this tiny little New York restaurant. She's opposite me, and within an arm's length, Natalie Portman was sitting down and eating with a friend of hers. So they're right there. If I wanted to, I could have ruined their meal. I couldn't stop checking on her or checking in, whatever the phrase was.
Checking on her.
Yeah, I was checking on her. I probably was awkward enough that it disrupted her meal anyway. My wife did too. My wife's sitting right there going, that's Natalie Portman. Look over there. You just can't help it. You just can't help it.
Congrats to Tom Wilson. DC's, I guess you're an eligible bachelor when you're dating someone, right?
In theory, yeah.
Most eligible man at one point
no longer
is now off the market. He is engaged, so congrats to him and his new fiance. Real quick on Allen, something that somebody had brought up to me. I thought this was interesting. I mentioned he's never been in the Pro Bowl. He was listed as a defensive end in the 34 for a couple years. There's no way to make the Pro Bowl as a defensive end in the 34, pretty much. If you're a defensive player of the year type, I guess, maybe. But you're competing against all of the edge rushers at that point.
Yeah, you know, the actual defensive ends that end up with 15, like, 16 sacks.
You need to outdo Von Miller to make the Pro Bowl when you're a 34 or 5 tech, like he was. So that's a really good point as to why he didn't sniff the Pro Bowl to this point. When people say, how can you pay this guy this much money? He's never even made the Pro Bowl. Well, okay, but he probably couldn't actually until this year. And then you need those gaudy sack totals for anybody to care about you if you're John Allen working in the interior.
It's a very good point. Because it didn't happen again this year. I think people have, I mean, it sounds like some Washington fans are in and kind of get it. But for the most part, people looked over it simply because it says two next to his name in the sack department. I'm telling you, I see this, I keep saying the same thing. If you replayed everything with all the ancillary numbers, you know, like it's like a baseball player. A guy hits 10 line drives in baseball. He could go 0 for 10 because he hits 10 line drives right at people. If you replayed that same thing with the same exit velocity, the same, you know, barrel percentage, all the other kind of stuff, he's going 9 for 10. And that's how the averages equal out. If you replayed everything that Jonathan Allen did this year, he'd end up with that same 7-8 sack total. And we'd think of him very differently. So I think it's a great signing.
G&D on the fan. Our 5 at 5 comes your way at the top of the hour. Well, let's do this. We'll give you a 5 at 5, and then we still got to play how much weight did Danny gain on vacation? So let's fit that in next segment after we run through the 5 at 5. We'll do that right at the top on G&D. Big story of the day, John Allen, an extension with the Washington football team. At 5:25, it does seem like Washington is in really good position. If Rodgers is playing his last year in Green Bay, if Watson, who the Texans suddenly want to trade, isn't tradable right now, that if either of those two guys is available next offseason, the football team has the fourth most cap space, could be coming off of a second straight playoff appearance, looking for a quarterback, they could maybe be a nice suitor for one of those QBs. I want to get into that with you at 5:25 here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.